Amen. Amen. Would you join me over in John 3 as I read verse 16 and 17? And this year I'm sharing it from the Voice translation. And in case you didn't know, if you read other verses in the King James, you're not the Antichrist. Okay. What you wind up with is a greater understanding of what's being said when you read it in other translations. But John 3:16 and 17 in the Voice Bible says, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not face destruction, will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. And folks, one of the things that I implore you to understand, if you're not rescuing, you're judging. If you're not rescuing the world, you're judging it. You're saying they get what they deserve. There isn't a person sitting in this room that got what they deserved. Okay. Right. Jesus paid the price so we could have what we didn't deserve. Everlasting life and the same power that raised God, that raised Jesus from the dead, dwelling in us, quickening these mortal bodies. Amen. So we need to remember that, and we need to do the same for others that Christ did for us. Amen. Amen. Tell that to your neighbor. Say, you need to do the same for others, as Christ did for us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now let's go to 1 John 5. Because see, this is why, when I prayed, you know, all right, Lord, give me a simple message. When I said amen, I said, and now I thank you for giving me the message, and I receive it now. And the reason I was able to do that, and I need to point this out to you, in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." I was asking him something in accordance with his will. I wasn't asking for a word to go out and just wow the people and, you know, I was asking, what do you want me to say? What do you want to say to the people through me? They're your people. They're not my people. And I knew he heard me. And I knew he was going to answer me. So I said, thank you. And when I sit down and put my hands to the keyboards, well, you're going to hear what came out. Okay. All right. But most of you have heard me share. I've shared many times about fundamentals, you know, being playing sports and things. I was fundamentally sound, and I had coaches that made sure of it. I hated practice because all we did with practice was work on fundamentals. You know, we very rarely scrimmaged because coach's philosophy was, if you understand how to apply the fundamentals, you don't have to scrimmage. Because you will see the situations develop during the games and you'll know what to do. Now, we scrimmaged from, you know, from a conditioning point of view and, you know, just to learn plays, but they stressed fundamentals. Michael Jordan wrote in one of his books, the minute you get away from fundamentals, the bottom falls out. And don't spend $495 for a pair of sneakers. That's fundamentally dumb. Okay. Some of you know what. Some new sneakers came out. $495 for a pair of sneakers. I'm telling you. But see, most people are not unaware of fundamentals. They're not. But the proper value was not placed on them. And God told me two reasons He told me to give you two reasons as to why folks don't value fundamentals. First reason, fundamentals are not always exciting, and learning them can be boring. I mean, that's it. I mean, you stand there, coach has you standing on the free throw line. You don't have a basketball in your hand, but you have to get the form right. So you go up like they said, no, tuck that elbow in. Snap that wrist. So I'm standing there. That's not fun. Okay. You know what's fun? Making free throws when the game's on the line. That's fun. But most folks don't like fundamentals because they're not exciting. They are boring. And the second reason is sometimes they take too long. And we're looking for immediate results. So we'll just throw away fundamentals and we'll go with something maybe popular, something promises to be quick, whatever the case, but we fail to realize that when one has strong fundamentals, we can accomplish and or overcome anything, and that's exciting. That's exciting. So we should, the person that's fundamentally strong, fundamentally sound, doesn't care who he or she has to go up against. Didn't care. I never stayed up at night, upset, worried, concerned about who I was going to have to guard the next game. I didn't care. Why not? I was fundamentally sound. And whatever my opponent presented, as long as I stuck with the fundamentals, I'd have an answer. It was and is that simple. It really is. How many of you have ever watched football games? Only a couple of people? I've told you this before. As I tell you this, you can be turning to Mark 11:23. But even watching football games, there's something that happens multiple times in every single football game that's played that should never happen. And these are professional athletes getting paid millions of dollars, and they're not fundamentally sound. The simple thing is called, when you're on defense and you're the defensive end, your fundamental move is you box the end. What does that mean? That means when the ball is snapped, you go like this, and then you go like this so you can see what's coming. Simple, right? But there's no glory in that, right, Robert? Well, folks, there's glory in sacking the quarterback. So instead of boxing the end, when the ball is snapped, the defensive end goes like this after the quarterback. Only he didn't know the quarterback was going to do a pitch out, and the guy ran around right where he was supposed to be. Where if he were fundamentally sound, that play should never work. But it works every single time because folks are not fundamentally sound. Are you at Mark 11? Verse 22, and Jesus answering, this is after he had cursed the fig tree and they came back and saw that. Guess what? His curse worked. Okay. And they wanted to know, Master, the fig tree, it's dead. You know, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. You can read along with me if you want to. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Very, very basic, fundamental scripture. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Jesus replied, have faith in God constantly. Constantly. That means you don't turn your faith in God on and off like a light switch. All right. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place. That's a key phrase. Going to take place means it's not happening right at this moment, but it is going to take place. It will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. Given to you means you don't have possession of it yet. But if you believe, guess what? You will. You will. Basic, fundamental, God's words translation. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. I can guarantee this truth. Jesus is telling them, I guarantee this to be true. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt, but believes what he says will happen. I need to stop there. Too many times we get calls because folks are doubting what God said. So what do you mean that doubt? They're calling us and they're telling us about circumstances that are going on. And they're going on. And I'm not upset about it because I did the same thing. I called Pastor Clinton and I was crying and slobbering. And you know, I'm not as strong as he was with my answer because he said to me, Gregory, I don't ever in life want to hear you talking about what the devil's doing. He said, the devil's supposed to do that because he's the devil. Right. He said, you need to start doing what you were trained to do and it won't matter what the devil is doing. It won't matter. But we get calls because it matters to people what the devil's doing. And they get frustrated. They get discouraged. They become depressed because the devil is acting like the devil. And they're not choosing. Well, I was going to say to believe what God said. But it's the same thing, because if you're acting like a Christian, then you are believing what God said. And the reason we're not saying what God said, because the truth is, we're not sure whether or not we believe it. We're not sure. And fundamentally speaking, in order to function as a believer, you got to believe in what God says. There isn't a Christian on this planet that has a problem believing. Every single human being knows how to believe. What is it that you're believing? That's the key. And the calls that we get as pastors is because folks are not believing. And this isn't to say we don't want to get any calls. I'm just telling you how it is, because we have to get these fundamentals down, because there's work to be done. There are new people to be trained. And if we don't have it right, what are we going to pass on to the next generation? I'll tell you something. One of the reasons why this type of message is so important is I was meeting several years ago with some of our youth, and they had a concern. They said, you know, then I was Mr. Carr. I wasn't Pastor Carr then. They said, Mr. Carr, it seems to us the only people we see prospering are the pastors. But all of them have had families that have been going to this church for years. For years. So my thought was, what are they seeing? What are they hearing when they're not in this place? See, we would like to think that you come here on Sunday, you hear a word, and it sticks with you thick and thin, no matter what happens. But the truth is, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you are not in a situation or an environment, it's a better word, you're not in an environment where the word is being talked and acted upon, you're going to wind up believing what you're experiencing and not what God said, because what God said isn't what's foremost in your life. And that's what those young people were seeing. So they must have been seeing people close to them struggling, arguing, whatever, that wasn't what God said. That's what they saw. And then when they come here and they observe the pastors, they see something different. And so they're looking, okay, this is Sunday. This is Monday through Saturday. This is Sunday. This is Monday through Saturday. This is Monday through Saturday. This is Monday through Saturday. And they start living Monday through Saturday. Because that's what they're thinking about. That's what they're seeing. That's what they're thinking. That's why you've heard me say, you know, if you're complaining about how our young people are acting, maybe we need to look in the mirror, because they're only imitating what they see the adults do. Amen. Amen. So I read you the Amplified. Let me finish God's word. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt but believes what he says will happen. He can say to this mountain, and Jesus was looking at the Mount of Olives when he said this, he can say to this mountain, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will be done for him. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received whatever you pray for, and it will be yours. There are three things in these scriptures that I want you to get. There are four things, actually. First one is you must have faith in God. If you don't speak to some, you must have faith in God. Then you have to speak to your mountain, whatever it may be. You must believe in your heart what you've spoken with your mouth, number four, and you'll have it. Those are the fundamental steps, folks. They have to be learned and mastered. You know, and you know, please don't let the devil deceive you into thinking you've heard this before. You know this. Well, if that's so, why aren't you doing it? You know, we have to know it to the point where it turns into action. And again, that's why I wasn't surprised when God answered me, because I expected it. But we have to get away from the worldly methods and methodologies of doing things and get back to fundamentals. You ask, you pray, you speak with faith in God. And you will get results. You will get the results you want. But I'm probably only going to cover two of these fundamentals. The first one is have faith in God. God showed me something I found very interesting. Actually, he mentioned this to me last Sunday, but he kind of expounded on it. Would you go, please, to Philippians again? We're talking fundamentals. This is a very fundamental verse. Philippians 4, 19. See, we know it. How many of you know that verse? How many of you can say it, you can quote it without reading it? Then let's say it. But my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now I have a question. You say that to someone, they're in need, and you say, oh, no, my God shall supply all your need. What gives that verse power? You ever think about that? What's the power point of that verse? No, see, here's a thing that we need to understand. My God shall supply won't mean anything unless that person knows something about your God. So you can say, my God shall supply. Right. Right. If they don't know your God, or if you haven't been acting like you know your God, saying, my God shall supply, won't mean a thing. I could walk down the boulevard and say, I'm Miss Ruby's son. It meant something. Why? Because Miss Ruby demonstrated what she would do to anyone that messed with her son, and her son operated in the confines, in the boundaries that she set. I mean, it was just that simple. That was a very unbeatable combination. And all I had to do was speak. You don't know who I am. I'm Miss Ruby's son. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please tell her I said hi. I walk on about my business. Because I called on her and she answered. Most of you, you've heard me say this, and again, I'll probably say it often. As a high school senior, 6'4", 220 pounds, everybody else is like 170 pounds, and I'm not fat, okay? I am not fat at all. And when the guys were trying to get me to cut class and, you know, do stuff after school that I wanted to do, I wasn't this goody-goody two-shoes guy. I wanted to do it, but mommy said, come home. Right. And I would say to them, guys, I can't. Come on, Foots, why not? I said, mommy said, come home. A high school senior. Okay. And they're like, mommy said, come home? I'm like, yeah. She said, come home. Oh, what are you, a mama's boy, Foots? Pretty much. Pretty much. And as the razzing got more intense, then I said, let me tell you something. On my worst day, if we fight, I have a 50-50 chance of winning the fight, but I feel very good today. But you need to understand something. If we fight and you win, mommy will come after you. And I went home. And guess what? People left me alone. Why? Because they saw mommy act on my behalf. They saw it, okay? Are people seeing God act on your behalf? Because if they're not, when you say, my God shall supply, you won't even believe it. And then you won't say it. You'll say something else, and you'll whatever that something else is, that's what you'll get. That's what you'll get. I don't know why this keeps happening to me. Would it make you feel better if you knew? Instead of saying, in Jesus' name, this will not happen anymore. I command you to stop. Period. But if you don't live that, if you haven't experienced that, you're not going to say that. You're going to say the circumstance. And you're going to have what you say. Because it's a fundamental. It's not just for the good stuff. You have what you say is everything. So we keep saying, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. It seems like this just won't stop. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. Yeah, you keep empowering it with your mouth. Because we haven't understood the fundamental. We have to have faith in God. We have to get to know who God is. Think in Exodus 5, you won't get this from watching the movie. Okay. But Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they said, Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is this Lord that I should obey him? I mean, a good deep voice and all that, but, you know, I do not know the Lord, and I'm not letting Israel go. All right? And I, what Nebuchadnezzar said was really, you know, he told him, he said, listen, when I play my music, you're going to bow down to my idols, or you are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, no questions asked. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hand? See, he didn't respect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God because he didn't know them. And they didn't really have any opportunity to really demonstrate, but they were willing to put their life on the line to prove their God. And their attitude is, I would rather die than do this any way other than God's way. Well, too many of us haven't adopted that mindset because we don't believe our God will. So if we don't believe our God will, how are we going to have faith in him? How many of you have faith in someone that always disappoints you? But that's how we treat God. And he's never disappointed us. But sometimes we say that we're disappointed because we want something that's not in his will. It's not in his will, and he's not going to give it to you. Yes, there are other ways you can get it and usually do. I mean, one of the things that happens to people, to Christians, too frequently, is they wind up marrying the wrong person. Yeah, they want to get married. We're in love. Well, true love can wait until God says now's the time. I mean, that's what. But we go, and we figure, well, God's going to work all this out. Yeah, he will. But you're going to go through some stuff in the process because you're taking a path that he didn't plan. Yes, he'll come and bless it, but you are going to go through stuff. And you're going to lie to people and tell them, yeah, God told us to get married. I'm telling you right now, no, he didn't. Okay. You wanted to get married. As my spiritual mom would say, you just wanted to legalize your lust. And you figure, well, as long as I get married, it's okay. That part of it may be. But unless you're going to do that 24/7, 365 days, there are other parts of the relationship that have to work. Okay? And that ain't happening because God didn't ordain it, and now you don't know what to do about it. So you're just tolerating one another because you've convinced yourself that it's God. I'll agree with you. It is a God. But it's not the God of the universe. And we need to understand that, folks. It's a fundamental. If we're going to have faith in God, we're going to have to believe God, and we're going to have to do what God says. And not even think about any negative consequences. Because if God, either God takes care of us or he doesn't. I mean, that's the way it is. He gave me some rubber meets the road moments. May I share them with you? Even if it stings? Okay. I have to ask you a question. How many of you have faith in God? Are you sure? We know who God is, then why are we worrying? Why are we worrying? Why are we unforgiving? We think about that. Why are we doubting? Why are we afraid? We know God. What do we have to be afraid of? We sing the song, there's no one greater. We sing the song, our God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Your heart is broken, you fall to pieces. Wait a minute, what happened to heals me when I'm broken? All right. Why aren't we going into all the world? Why are we concerned about how we're going to get there? Why aren't we laying hands on the sick in public? We have to ask ourselves those questions. We believe God. Why aren't we tithing and giving? You think about it. Why aren't we serving? Youth department needs volunteers. The next generation, the future of the church needs to be trained. The youth department needs assistance. They're going to summer camp. They need chaperones. Every year they come back changed. Are you telling me that it's not worth taking vacation time to go and minister to our young people? Taking some time off from, I have bills to pay. Oh, I thought, my God, shall supply all your, know something? Turn to Genesis 1, please. God just said, jump ahead. So I'm jumping ahead. I want to show you something here, and then I'm going to come back to it, if that makes sense. If it doesn't, it will. See, because my God shall supply all your need is not something that God just waited to say until he got into the New Testament. In Genesis 1, verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. God has been providing for our every need since the beginning of time. And the problem is that we've been humanized. So what does that mean? Because we have some skills, we think that we should be providing. And so we make choices, we make decisions, we make changes in our lives so that we can provide for our families. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but God said he would supply. Yeah, but he supplies through other people. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but what people? Are you finding the people, or are you letting him direct you to the people? I don't believe, and I believe scriptures back it up, because the scripture says, forsake not the assembling together. But yet and still, we will take promotion, we will accept promotions and positions that will cause us to miss church. We think if I just come on a Sunday or a Wednesday, I'll get enough for the whole week. How many of you has a habit every single day you sit down and you only eat breakfast and you don't eat anything else the rest of the day? You don't eat anything else the rest of the week. You eat breakfast Sunday morning and you eat nothing else for the rest of the week. I don't see any hands. But we think one spiritual meal is enough. And we wonder why our faith in God grows weaker and weaker and weaker. Because faith without works, and there is a dying process. So we need to, we need to nourish our bodies so that we can function and continue, we need to nourish our spirits so we can function and continue. Because as our spirits stay nourished, we keep our faith in God. See, lights need to be on a switch, because you don't always need lights in a particular room. Your faith should never be on a switch, because you're just. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So we don't have the right to decide when I'm going to use my faith and when I'm not. Faith is my life. That's how we live.
That's how Brother Higgins said, keep the switch of faith.
keep the switch of faith turned on. I have another suggestion. Disconnect it. Faith doesn't need a switch. Wire it together to on and leave it. I mean, that's the way it should be. No matter what happens, we should be operating in faith. But we have replaced faith with head knowledge. And when you go with head knowledge, you don't have what you say. Because logic comes into play. And you start depending, well, this sounds logical. Yeah, but is it logical? You know, I'm known for making new words. But is it God that's telling you to do it? But if we're going to have faith in God, we're going to have to spend time so that we really get to know God, and we're going to have to act on what he says so we develop a track record that it works. And as you, that's why, see, to me, obedience begets obedience. And the more you're obedient, the easier it becomes to be obedient. But if you're never obedient, or if you're only obedient when it's convenient, then you're not going to believe that God will in every situation. You say, yeah, I know, normally, you know, I would pray and ask God, but get your butt out of the way and stick with God's word. Remember, we're talking about fundamentals. The first one is you have to have faith in God. God said in Hebrews, whoever comes to him must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, if you don't believe that, you won't diligently seek him. And if you're not diligently seeking him, guess what? You won't go to him because you won't believe that he's there for you. You know, I know he likes, you know, those he's called the prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, but no, he doesn't like me. I'm not one of his special people. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So say, if I'm going to speak to the mountain, I have to become fundamentally sound. And the first fundamental, I have to believe God is. You have to. You have to know your God. And Daniel says, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people who don't know their God will be as weak as wet bread and won't be able to do anything. Do you understand? Second thing I'm going to tell you today, after we have had faith in God, we have to open our mouths and speak. You have to open your mouth. It said, when you say. It doesn't say when you think about. It says, when you say to the mountain. Yeah. But I'm going to give you a different perspective on saying. I'm going to try and do it. Well, that's going to be, no, I will do this in 6 minutes and 31 seconds. Okay. Let's go back to Genesis 1. I'm going to show you something. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You read some translations saying the earth became without form. You say, well, when did that happen? God created a perfect earth in the beginning. When Satan fell like lightning and hit the earth became dark and formless. And when I say darkness was across the face of the deep, that means to the very core of the earth. Every part of the earth was dark. Every part of it. God didn't go up to heaven and say, look what they did to my earth. He never, think about this. He never spoke to the darkness. Never. When he felt the time was right, he said, let there be light. He didn't say, I am the God of the universe and I command darkness to leave because I need light to come. Oh, no. He said, let there be light. Because he knew, he believed that whatever was necessary for light to happen, it would happen because he said so. And he's God. So he didn't have to address the darkness. He didn't have to address the vast wasteland that was this earth. He simply said, light be. And light was. So God showed me last night, says, well, why are we going around wasting our time speaking to situations? He didn't say, okay, darkness, you leave. And then now this is the formula for light. You have to do this and you have. No, he said, light be. Period. Tumor dissolve. Period. You don't get that. Okay, now, tumor. In order for the tumor to dissolve, this needs to happen. So let me speak of this first and that. No. Tumor dissolve. Whatever has to be done to cause it to dissolve happens. Period. Bank accounts be full. We don't have to say, okay, God, please give me a job. I need an investment strategy. Bank accounts full in Jesus' name. And whatever has to happen, it may come in the form of an idea. God may say, invest in this company. He didn't say research it and see if it makes sense. He said, invest in this company. How much, God? Put it all in there. But don't go do it. Say, Pastor Greg said, put it all in there. I'm not God. I'm using this as an example. Okay. As an example. You need to spend time speaking what you want to happen that lines up with God's will and not concern yourself with how God's going to do it. When you think about it, does it really matter to you how it gets done? When you go into the mail and you open up and you have a dividend check for $30,000, you don't care what happened to that. To you. All you care about is, let me endorse this and go and deposit it, write my tithe check, give to this ministry, that ministry, this ministry. Why? God said he will give seed to the sower. Period. So you find yourself, God, I'm a sower. And you promised to give me seed. So thank you for it. Seed, I command you to manifest in Jesus' name. Go write your check. But it's not there yet. That's okay. I didn't say mail it. Go write it. All right. And when it comes, put the date on it and send it in. But then we're thanking God the whole time. Every time it comes into your thinking, thank you, Lord. Harvest is coming in. Get excited. You get to, oh, glory to God. The harvest is coming in. The harvest is coming in. Right then, when it comes in, I'm giving this amount to this, and this amount to this, and this amount to this. My wife carries around a check for $1 million for this ministry. $1 million. No, that's not why we're talking to you about giving. No. You know, we're just telling you. We don't know where it's going to come from. And guess what? We don't care. We're doing what he told us. And when it comes, we're going to write the date on it, put it in an envelope, and send it in. Why? We have faith in God, and we will speak to the mountain. And you can't get upset because when you speak, it doesn't happen instantly. Have you ever thought about how they got roads to go where mountains used to be? How many of you ever passed by a road sign that said danger blasting ahead? Turn off all radios. Because there's a mountain in the way of this road. And they need the mountain to move. So they'll set explosive charges. And guess what? When they detonate, The whole mountain doesn't go. Some of it goes. And guess what they have to do? Detonate again. And again. Every time they blast away, more of that mountain leaves, till the next thing you know, is all gone. It's all gone. Why are you telling us that? You have to keep saying. You have to keep saying. When you say it, some of that mountain got blasted away. Young people, you need to start speaking to the finances for your college education now. Don't depend on, you know, don't believe, don't waste your time believing that your parents get a good job or hit the lottery or anything. No, God, what school do you want me to go to? I thought you said believe for the finances. Well, see, God sends your provision to a place and then he sends you there. He sent the ram to a particular mountain and told Abraham, go to that mountain. And that mountain was called Jehovah. Why? That's where God's provision was. Suppose Abraham decided to go to, that mountain's too far. He just wants to sacrifice. There's a mountain right here, 15 minutes away. People do that about church. There's a church God wants them to go to. Nobody drives an hour anymore to church. I got a church that's walking distance. Someone said this to me. I've paid my dues. And I was like, whoa. Okay. I didn't know it was a membership like that. I thought if God said he'd give you pastors after his own heart. He didn't say I'll give you pastors after my own heart and you'll only have to walk 5 minutes to get to them. You know, but that's the mindset. So young people, you concentrate on your studies. You don't have to depend on an athletic scholarship or an academic scholarship. I mean, if that's the way God chooses to do it, that's fine. You should excel academically because you're a child of God. The Bible says you'll be 10 times smarter. So you don't have to confess. You don't have to worry over a particular class. I thank you, God, I'm 10 times smarter. Brain, you absorb the information. Understanding, you will come. I have understanding about all things. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. I know. And your grades will show that. Now, I'm not saying you do that and don't study. The pastor said, I just need to pray and not study. No, you study, and everything that you study will be retained with understanding. It's your heritage as a child of God that has to mean something. And when folks say, how do you know all these things? You need to tell them. I pray. I'm a child of God. I have rights as a Christian. And one of those rights is that I speak and I have what I say. And I say I'm acing this class. How can you say that? Well, the name of Jesus is above any other name that's named. So it's above advanced math or whatever the classes are. They've changed the name so much, keep advancing them. But they can't move faster than you. Okay, I need to close. And you'll get the rest on Wednesday. But I don't want to close until I say this once I get to it. Just hold on. Look at Proverbs 18 for me, would you please? This is out of the Message Bible, verse 20 and 21. Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Folks, that means when you speak the right words in faith, your mind, your thoughts, your whole self will be satisfied. You won't be anxious. You won't worry. You won't get frustrated. You'll never become depressed. Verse 21 says, words kill Words give life. Either they're poison or fruit. You choose. See, God has told you what you should say. You decide whether or not you're going to say it. You can choose to speak what God said, or you can choose to speak what you're thinking. But what you're thinking will not cause life. That's one of the reasons I have on a t-shirt that says speak life. You know, and I would have worn it by itself, and as warm as I am, I wish I had it, but I just like collars. I should have worn a short sleeve shirt. That's what I'll do the next time. But listen, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to quit. It's Mark 11:23, but it's in the Johnson translation. It says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself into the lake, listen to this carefully, and does not become separated from the statement he makes. That means you speak it, and there isn't a force in heaven or hell that caused you to back away from what you said. You hold fast to what you said. Period. If you say dump yourself in the lake and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. You'll bring your statement into reality. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent, that means it's in agreement with his inner being, with his spirit, his desire will be actualized. So that means, folks, if what we're praying is not in line with what God's Spirit is telling us to pray, it won't happen. Your spirit and your mind need to be in sync. Because then the right words will come out. Because your spirit and your mind are going to determine what's going to drop down into your heart and grow. And the Word tells us, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if you're speaking it, what you are speaking is what you're believing in your heart for real. Why do I say that so strongly? Because that's what the Word says. If it's coming out of your mouth, it's the abundance of your heart. So you need to be very mindful about what you say. Even when you're joking. See, words don't know when you're kidding and when you're serious. All they know is that they've been released. We all know that's why you don't go around telling children from the time they're very young, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid. Because they, if nothing happens to cause them to change their thinking, they're going to grow up acting like they're stupid because that's all they've heard and that's all they've come to expect. We expect that you have faith in God because you know who God is. And the reason you know who God is that you've done what he has said and have proven that what he says is true. Then when you say here, I have faith in God, it means something. And then out of that faith in God, you speak. You speak. I believe. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
First verses that you shared today in Philippians 4:19. Mm-hmm. Like, and I heard it from many people here this morning, and that's why I want to comment on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But my God shall supply all of my needs, they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But he told me over 40 years ago, he said, Sarah, that word need is not plural. And reason many of my children are missing it is because they're looking for Jesus to supply different things. He said, and all they really need is Jesus because it says according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Says, they only need him.
Mm-hmm.
And once if they could accept me as being my God, then if you accept him as being the only need that you really have,
mm-hmm.
because everything else that you will get comes through him.
Right.
They'll be a lot better off than keep looking for him to supply different things
mm-hmm.
and just accept the fact that he is your provider.
Mm-hmm.
He's your healer. He's your mm-hmm. redeemer. He is everything that you need, so you don't have to look for needs
mm-hmm.
from him. Stop mm-hmm. looking at anything that you might need.
That's right.
Apart from Jesus Christ, he said, because that is not so. He said, you have one need, and that's Jesus. And with him, everything else is available to you if you believe and confess.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stop thinking, well, Jesus will do this for me, but he might not do that for me,
mm-hmm.
then you'll be a lot better off, he says, because if you notice, the rest of that verse says, according to his riches
mm-hmm.
in glory
mm-hmm.
by Christ Jesus. And he said to me over 40 years ago, he said, you have one need, and you accepted him on the 21st of May in 1944. You had a need for Jesus
mm-hmm.
and for the rest of your life. You didn't have any need for anything else
mm-hmm.
as long as you keep him in the forefront
mm-hmm.
and depend on him to supply everything that you need according to his riches, not according to your riches.
That's why Jesus said, he told the devil, man doesn't live
by bread alone. But by every word that proceeds
out of the mouth of God. And,
and
that's also why he said, seek first
kingdom.
His kingdom
and his righteousness
and everything else
will be added. So if we will stop saying needs
mm-hmm.
and look for Jesus to give us these little detailed things and mm-hmm. just accept that in him,
mm-hmm.
in Christ, you have everything you need.
And along with that, Pastor Sarah,
mm-hmm.
if one would just focus their mind on doing what God has called them to do, mm-hmm. his responsibility is to keep us
right.
while we can do it and while we're doing it.
Yes.
I mean,
he says that he gives seed to the sower. So why do you need to keep asking him for funds?
All you need to do is keep sowing.
Keep sowing.
There was a young man that's traveling now with Rhema Singers and Band. Never went to Rhema.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a very accomplished musician, and he goes to a Rhema church where they had held the crusade, and he asked, and you know, they usually don't do this, but they let him play
mm-hmm.
with the band. He had to take time off of work that he didn't have. But he just said, no, God told me to do this, so I'm doing it.
Right.
And it had to be God, because Reverend Ken said, sure, let him play.
Right.
When he came back, a very large contract that had been stalled for months came through.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife said to him, you need to go work with them again. And so he did. And another big contract came through. Now, he doesn't do it just when God tells him, go join, you know, Rhema Singers and Band at this location. He goes, and either while he's there or when he comes back, he's heard that something that he's been working on for months came through.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God has to keep him while he's away. He's not being compensated by an employer. He's just giving his gift back to God. God is taking care of him. You know, and he didn't ask God, you have to take care of me while I go and do what you've told me to do.
Right.
He didn't have to. He just went and did it because he had faith in God. And that's all we're talking about. You know, if you believe God, just do what he says. Stop concerning yourself with anything else. Do what he says.
That's why I make sure that my tithe is in.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have any money to do anything else with,
mm-hmm.
I make sure my tithe is in.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, give seed to the
sower
and bread to the eater. And so I don't need to ask him for bread. I don't need to ask him mm-hmm. for healing. Mm-hmm. I don't need to ask him for a new car or any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep on sowing. And he gives seed to the sower.
You know, one of the things that I noticed.
He doesn't just give the seed that you sow.
Mm-hmm. No,
to the sower. He says, I give seed to the sower.
And he multiplies the seed sown.
Multiplies it.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I have put in my tithe, then I am satisfied that he's mm-hmm. going to take care of all of the other things
mm-hmm.
that he knows I have need of in life. He's not going to just give me enough money mm-hmm. to pay my tithe. No, he's going to multiply it.
That's right.
Multiply my seed sown.
Mm-hmm.
And so
and increase the fruit of your righteousness.
Yeah. So that I can rest assured
mm-hmm.
that I'm always going to have enough to be a blessing to other people.
Mm-hmm.
We had a situation in our apartment just this week. And Rose just happened to mention something concerning her mother in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Just casually mentioned it in my presence. And I didn't even bother to check with her to see if I could afford to do it or what. But the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Rose is not working for the last 6 years. And she cannot meet that need that her sister has where her mother's concerned over there. But you can. So go ahead and do it. And she was absolutely shocked
mm-hmm.
when I told her, Rose, just take this out of my wallet. Didn't even have to take it out of my checking account.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and send it to your sister to cover this particular
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Mom, are you kidding? I said, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday she just went to Western Union
mm-hmm.
and sent it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she texted her sister to tell her to expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And all, and her sister called her back when she got it
mm-hmm.
and said, Rose, I had no idea that you were going to send this, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it has really come in handy
mm-hmm.
for such. Well, now she's been taking care of me for the last 6 years without benefit of salary.
So well, see, mean, here's the thing, though, Pastor Sarah.
But do you mean to tell me when her natural mother
mm-hmm.
has a need that her sister is mm-hmm. struggling to meet,
mm-hmm.
and I have it, that I'm not supposed to say, just say sometimes, mm-hmm. yeah, Rose, take this, do this. You know, it makes all the difference in the world.
She yeah, doesn't but the have key, to the key is that God,
she
God
doesn't
spoke
have to
it
ask
to you.
Me, yeah.
See, that,
she
that's
doesn't
the key.
Have to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she needs something or she wants to do something.
And we shouldn't ask, we really shouldn't be asking anybody.
No, that's
because
true.
If we, if
she
I go,
didn't ask me.
If I go to Ken and say, Ken, you know, can you spare X, mm-hmm. Y, I'm putting him above God.
That's right.
You know, the Bible says everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known
unto God.
To God.
Yeah.
To God. See, God knew that he had an assignment for Rose,
mm-hmm.
you know, concerning, you know, your care. He knew and knows that Rose is perfectly capable of going out and getting a high-paying position
mm-hmm.
in a profession. He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But he told Rose, put all of, forget that and come and tend to you. Now he's obligated to provide and take care of her. So she can continue to do
absolutely
what he called her to do.
Absolutely.
And whether he used you or anyone else to bless her,
mm-hmm.
that's what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
All Rose has to do is stay steady to what he's called her to do, mm-hmm. and he takes care of everything mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what we want folks to understand, because that's that Rose is, you're living out, have faith in God.
Yeah.
And you know who God is. You've proved him. That's why he said, prove me now.
Yeah.
He said, and he told you, he said, see if I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out. Folks, the last time the Bible said the windows of heaven were opened, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah.
And he said that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
And he knows who he's going to speak to that will obey him.
That's right.
To meet a particular need. She never asked me for a dime.
And if he's telling you to do it, he knows you already have it.
She never asked me for a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And she hasn't asked me for a dime in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever she has a need, and God wants me to meet that need, mm-hmm. He's already provided for me.
That's right.
To be able to meet that need.
That's
up
right.
to me whether or not I want to obey him where she's concerned.
That's right.
And
really the question
is, we pick and choose who we want to give and when we want to give, instead of waiting to hear from God.
Mm. And that's where I was going.
Yeah.
You know, you chose to be obedient to God.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
Period. And folks, that's the way we all need to be. Mm-hmm. We have to stop looking at the individual. We have to stop judging the circumstance and just listen to what God is telling you. He already gave us an example.
All of my needs.
Mm-hmm. But think about the early church, though.
Yeah, but if I have a need mm-hmm. to be used of God,
mm-hmm.
to He'll give provide you the opportunity. For Rose's mother
mm-hmm.
through her,
mm-hmm.
he will already have provided for me. I don't now have to ask him
to
give me the seed.
Before the foundation of the world, he had all this worked out.
Yeah.
Because he knew this day and this season would come.
And believe that money that was taken out of my wallet yesterday mm-hmm. to send to her mother isn't going to have any effect, mm-hmm. negative effect on me
mm-hmm.
at all. It's going to be replaced by God.
Well, think about
when
the early church.
Meet another need.
Yep. When the early in the early church, the Bible tells us in Acts. I like these exchanges. But the Bible tells us in Acts that no one counted belongings as their own.
That's right. That's right.
And those that had, and it says houses, plural,
mm-hmm.
and lands. It does not say they sold their home and was homeless. They had things that they could sell, and they sold them and gave to people that were in need. And the Bible says there wasn't one among them that lacked, because everybody looked out for everybody. The folks heard the Holy Ghost, sell
That's
this,
the key.
Do
That's
that.
That's the key right there.
Well, remember Hearing what you said about the person who heard about someone in Ramah that gave all his clothes away and God gave him new clothes?
Mm-hmm.
And so this one person said, I want new clothes. So he gave all his clothes away. And guess what? Maybe. He ain't have any clothes because God didn't tell him to do that.
And he ended up being naked.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to belabor this.
Yeah.
But I did want to just get that mm-hmm. in there, because of everybody will understand that Jesus is the only need
mm-hmm.
that you have,
mm-hmm.
because everything that you get is going to come according to his riches
That's
in
right.
glory.
That's right. That's right.
By and through Christ Jesus.
Oh,
Jesus is the only need we have. And once we settle that, doesn't matter what surfaces in your life, whether it's happening to you personally, or it's somebody mm-hmm. else is going to benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the key is listen to the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
to tell you what to do, and stop just making decisions
That's
to
right.
do things without mm-hmm. his suggestion or approval or agreement, because you can get ahead of him. then, and...
I just got a formula.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to make your own decisions, you must first become, this is what the Holy Ghost just said to me to tell you, you must first become an expert in that area. However, he said you need to understand that the only expert in all areas is God. He's the only one that knows absolutely everything there is to know about anything. So when he tells you to do something, he's already looked at all of the other possibilities that exist in the universe. You're limited to a book and not the Bible. So he said, you want to make your own decisions? Take the time to know as much as he knows, and then you can do it. I dare say you'll never get to the point where you know as much as God knows. And he's already told you. He said, your ways are not my ways. He said, as far as the east is from the west are my thoughts and ways above yours. So we need to understand that. Yeah, we sing the song. Yeah, we'll move up higher. We will. We're not going to get to the place where we know more than God. The last being that I heard, actually the only being that I heard about that thought he knew as much as God, Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. So you can either wind up being a blessing to the people of God in this world or a lightning bolt. You choose. You choose. Come Wednesday, because there's something I want to share with you along that line. You know, I read where Jesus said something. I'd never read it before in my life. I'm not going to tell you about it until Wednesday. Though I'm already over time. Father, we thank you and give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, because you did just what I asked you for. You gave a simple message that's easily understood, so that all of us develop the understanding as to how important it is to have faith in God and to speak based on that faith to the mountain. We thank you, Lord, that as we meditate on that, our understanding of it will increase. And we will no longer allow ourselves to become frustrated, flabbergasted, depressed, or any of those things. We're simply going to have faith in you, period. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.